So this is Dr. Will Tuttle, and this is April 2nd, 2020. This is our World Peace Diet Circle. We're doing it on the first Thursday of the month because of the coronavirus pandemic and the challenges that it is facing, that we are facing because of that. So it's really fantastic to have you all joining us. Thank you all for caring, and thanks for helping to create this safe space where we can share our ideas, our fears, I guess you could say, our aspirations. And one of the main things I want to emphasize here at the very beginning is I think it really is important for us to cultivate a positive internal environment. And it's always important, but I think especially now, and to give thanks for this wonderful opportunity that we have here to be together as we are now, and also just in general for this human birth. So here we are, and Madeline's also on the call. As we have quite a lot of participants. I think we have about 30 or so right now. So let's see. So I just want to, let me see, I need to do one thing here. Sorry. Quite a few things to keep track of here on this Zoom. I also, by the way, I just want to mention, I got an email from one of our members, World Peace Diet facilitator in Canada, who was mentioning to me that there's apparently a lot of concerns that Zoom, there's a lot of privacy issues with Zoom, so and other issues. So I'm not sure if we'll continue with Zoom, actually, but we'll do anyway. We'll do it for right now, of course. But if you have any thoughts about that, let me know. But anyway, we're delighted to be together, and this is primarily, I think, a non-video. If you have your video on, that's fine. If you want to just listen, a lot of people are on your phones. And we're to be, I think, joined also by this wonderful colleague and friend of ours, Margarita Restrepo. I think she'll be joining us, and I'm not
here.
Totally. Oh, you're here. Oh, okay.
Cool. I'm here.
All right, great. Oh, there she is. Okay. Great.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, and I'm happy to be sharing this moment with everybody. Thank you for inviting me.
Uh-huh. Yes, great. So Margarita, I will just say here, and since she's here with us, is the founder and editor-in-chief and also the art director of this wonderful magazine, Naked Food, which stands for New Authentic Kind and Enlightened Diet. So she goes without saying, if it's that kind of a diet, it must be the same as a world peace diet, which is a whole food, organic, plant-based diet. And we just love the work you've been doing, Margarita, for so many years. And you're also the founder of the International Association of Reversive Medicine and of WFPB, WholeFoodPlantBased.org, which is a nonprofit organization empowering health, human and planetary health through plant-based living. So there's lots of things that Margarita has been working on, and we are really glad that we met you back in person at the last year in Florida.
All right, back at you.
Right. So what I'd like to do in the very beginning, before we jump into some discussion here, is to just take a few minutes and do a short meditation. So let's just take a minute and turn our attention within together, wherever we happen to be and whatever we happen to be doing, and give thanks for this wonderful opportunity that we have to pool our collective intelligence and to connect with each other on an energetic level, as well as intellectual level and emotional level and spiritual level, knowing that we have within our heart the highest aspiration for all of us to awaken to our true nature and to be a force for the healing of our world. We give thanks for the whole network of people who are questioning the official narratives in our society that cause harm and violence to animals and to ecosystems and to other human beings. We send them our love and appreciation. We give thanks for this beautiful earth and to all the animals and beings that are living here, celebrating their lives, to the beauty and abundance of nature and of our life. And we give thanks for the infinite love that is shining in every cell of our being and the intelligence that is helping us to awaken ever more deeply to our true nature, and to also help our society free itself from the wounds of delusion and separateness. We give thanks knowing that all the ripples that radiate out into the infinite web of relations from our being together here this afternoon, this evening, will be ripples to bring peace and healing and greater wisdom into our lives and to bless not only ourselves and our loved ones, but animals, future generations, hungry people, the whole interconnected and infinite web of life here on this beautiful earth. And we give thanks that we're part of this awakening that is happening on this earth during this time. And so it is. Yes. So much love again to all of you. And thanks again for joining us. So we were talking, Natalie and I were talking, I guess about a week ago, maybe with Margarita and Michele, her partner. And we were talking about the fact that we're going to be having this, we decided, since some of you requested it, instead of our normal third Thursday, waiting until the third Thursday of April to have our normal call, we would have a special one on the first Thursday. So this is our special call, and so we were telling that to Margarita because we were talking about the fact that it looks like this coronavirus pandemic is not all that it appears to be. That there's many agendas that apparently are being pushed by this whole thing, and that it's really good for us to be savvy. As the WHO, and I don't mean the World Health Organization, I mean Peter Townsend and the rock and roll group, the WHO. One of their songs I really liked, the title was "We won't get fooled again." And I think that's what we're talking about. You know, we won't get fooled again. We've been getting fooled over and over and over again. I mean, it's really ridiculous. And I think part of the thing is to understand that as vegans, we're to cultivate loving kindness and awareness, compassion and respect for all beings, but also intelligence and critical ability and also our intuition. So, there's, you know, if we're vegans, we've been able to awaken from the false narrative that we need to imprison animals for food, right? We've been able to awaken from that hoax, from that scam, which is destroying our planet. We understand, if you've read the World Peace Diet, if you're here, you understand that animal agriculture is the most devastating force on our planet on every level, to our physical health, our psychological and spiritual health, as I discuss all the time, our environmental health and our cultural health. And we're seeing this right now in terms of our cultural health with this pandemic, which is really a product, I think, of animal agriculture, not just maybe on the outer level, but I mean more specifically on the level of the attitudes. So just to say this very briefly, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but just to really underline the idea that animal agriculture plants in all of us the mentality of materialism, which is to see the world in terms of matter. We don't see the cows and pigs and chickens as beings. We see them as objects, as commodities. We see nature as a commodity. We start to see ourselves and each other as commodities to be used. We reduce everything. And the fact is, and I think, you know, a lot of you know about the boomerang effect, whatever we sow, we reap. And so the boomerang effect, I think, is especially important here, because one of the things that we have to understand is that animal agriculture is based on this idea of harming other beings, with imprisoning them without their permission, stealing their babies without their consent, enormous violence, and then eating that violence on a ritualized way. You know, everyone's doing it. So everyone's getting dumbed down by doing this. Everyone who's eating animal foods is being routinely dumbed down. Our natural intelligence is being suppressed. Natural capacity to make connections is being suppressed with every meal. Plus, we're sowing seeds of doing what we're experiencing. What are we experiencing? Right now, we're experiencing a mass hysteria that we are all being attacked by forces we can't see, right? Viruses, these terrible, I mean, it's almost comical, but, you know, this idea that there's these hidden, bad, terrible things that are lurking everywhere, and they're going to kill us, that we're just innocent, you know, we're just good, loving, kind people doing about our lives, and suddenly these viruses are attacking it came from a wet market or it came from a bio lab or wherever it came from, we don't know, but they're attacking us. And we're very, why are we so vulnerable to that kind of a narrative? I mean, why do we believe that kind of a narrative? The fact is that that's what we are, right? From the point of view of every cow, pig, chicken, all these animals, we are the unseen violent force that's killing them, right? If I go to a store, I take out my wallet and I pay for meat, dairy product, or eggs, I'm a virus, right? Somewhere, because of my action, an animal is going to be horribly abused and killed and attacked, right? So I'm sowing the seeds, if I'm eating animal foods, of attacking others as an unseen agent, right? I'm an unseen agent, invisible agent, just attacking and destroying other beings. So we're sowing that on the scale of millions and billions of people, and suddenly we're all like, oh man, we're getting attacked by unseen agents, you know? Of course we are. I mean, what do you expect? This is what we're doing. We have to awaken out of this delusion and realize that if we don't go, as long as they have animal agriculture and the kind of technology, of course, that we've developed, these kinds of things are going to keep, as I say in the World Peace Diet, they're going to keep growing and growing and growing, and the waves get bigger and bigger, and it's an opportunity, of course, the other thing, to completely enslave us, right? The way we're enslaving animals. So this is the thing we have to be conscious of. So what I think it's important to really make an effort to untangle a lot of the narratives in the media and question what's happening. So I know I probably completely inundated everyone with too much information on that resources list. I mean, it's so many articles and videos. I can hardly keep up with everything. And there's so much information coming out, and probably a lot of misinformation. So it's hard to know what's really happening. But I think what Margarita and Madeline and I and Michaela were talking about was this beautiful truth that, you know, as vegans, we're not part of it. I mean, we're not causing this kind of violence. We're not paying for the violence and the abuse of animals. And we're doing our best to liberate ourselves from this. And so therefore, it's very important for us to, since we're healers, right? We're healers on this earth, trying to heal the earth. For us as healers to also understand what's actually happening. And there's many levels. And I said that in our last call. I think there's many levels. But the most important level is that the information is being controlled by people who maybe don't have our best interests at heart. And a lot of people are just consuming the mainstream media, which is essentially funded by the big pharmaceutical industries and financial industries, which are making a lot of money on us not being able to really understand what's happening. Here's Michele. Hi. Great. So anyway, I just want to say that as a background, that what we're seeing here, I think, is this, again, the boomerang effect. You know, we force all these animals to be confined, right? And now we're all being confined. Even vegans are being confined, supposedly. I mean, we're not supposed to go out and not supposed to have social distance and so forth. And so this is really, you know, our freedom is being directly taken away from us, and we're being ordered. I mean, we're just being ordered to follow these rules based on this idea that we're dangerous to each other, that we can hurt each other. And so I just hope that we begin to question some of these narratives. You know, I'm probably not the best person to talk to about this if you tend to believe the medical model, because I've stayed out of it for the last 50 years. And I question it completely myself. So, you know, that's just my own experience. But I'll just say briefly, my experience, since I've been a vegan and whole food, plant-based, I think also try to do a lot of things to take responsibility for my health. With Madeline and I, we haven't used drugs. I haven't gone to a pharmacy, you know, in 50 years. And so for me, the underlying idea has been that viruses are my friend. Right. I mean, I've always felt viruses are my friends. Bacteria are my friends. I'm not scared of them. I mean, they're nothing to be scared of from my point of view. Like on my body, like the body, we understand this now, the microbiome that is inside of us. If the bacteria died, I would die right away. Right. I'm dependent on these bacteria in my body. And there's more of them than there are of me. Right. That's a great irony. There's actually something like 30 trillion of my cells and maybe 50 or 60 trillion of like microbes of various kinds inhabiting this space where my body is. So So there's more of them than there is of me. So why should I hate them? Why should I be afraid of them? There's also something called the virome, which is the virus microbiome. And it's essential for our health. If the virus microbiome disappeared, we would die, right? We need viruses. I mean, viruses are used to build the fetus, to build our brains, to build the placenta. They're just, you know, they're not even alive. They're just basically lipid-encased protein DNA packets that fit into cells and do things that are basically in our best interest. So this whole hysteria that we're being attacked by viruses, to me, makes no sense, because every once in a while, not that often, I get a cold. And when I get a cold, I'm glad. It's no problem. I mean, it's like living in this world, like I said last month, or a couple of weeks ago, there's whatever the number was, it was huge. It was like 27, I can't remember the number now, 27,000 tons or whatever it is of toxic chemicals are being released every day in the world. So our factories are releasing thousands and thousands of tons of toxic chemicals to be used as drugs, as fertilizers, as chemicals, all kinds of things. So it's in the air, it's in the water, it's in the, you know, it comes into our body. So our body's cleaning, right? It's cleaning out. And so we have to have a cold now and then, you know, to clean out and expel disease through our mouth and nose and so forth. And so it's okay, you know, it's great. Clean out for a few days and go on with life. So I think we're in a society where we're taught to repress that, not let that happen. Take a pharmaceutical remedy, and it builds up inside. The toxins increase, and then we get cancer, right? So the whole idea is to just relax and trust that if we take responsibility for our own health, don't blame other people, don't put our health in the hands of the pharmaceutical industry or the medical industry, which basically want us to think that disease is either something that we inherit, right? We have genes, so you can't do anything about it. We're powerless, so we need drugs or surgeries because we inherited it, or that it's infectious, right? Or we're just vulnerable, you know, victims. It's a victim mentality. It's always this hammering home this idea that we're just victims, right? We're just, and we can't help ourselves, and we got to depend on the authorities to help us. And their drugs, and they're going to charge us for that. And they're going to lock us down. They're going to tell us what to do. And we've completely given up our freedoms. We're willing to do that. And I mean, why are we willing to do that? I mean, that's what, it's amazing to me, actually, that this is happening over and over and over again in more and more powerful ways. And so I think, you know, the time is coming where it's important for us, I think, to realize that this could be the big one, I guess. That's what we've been thinking. This could be the big one, because when you shut down the economy for this long, I mean, this is really serious. And if you I hope you watched, or at least watched the last 30 minutes of the Highwire video, because when you have Toby Rogers, an economist, he really goes into discussion of the rampant suicides and homicides and the terrible price people pay when they can't work and they can't have money and the stress that comes up. So, you know, I think we have to just be aware of that this is a big change. Now, we've been saying as vegans for a long time that the way the world is going anyway, it can't go on that way, right? I mean, it can't go on. So now it's stopping. And some of the neat things that are happening is that now there's coyotes in the streets of San Francisco. You know, all these things are happening. Like wild animals are not getting hunted as much because hunters are staying home. And, you know, there's all these things happening that are positive too, right? Because the economy is kind of shutting down. There's less pollution. There's, you know, very interesting. I mean, it's an interesting time. So I think the most important thing in all of this is to stay positive, to realize that this could be a birth canal for a new world, or at least for a new experience for us as human beings. I don't know who's controlling things behind the scenes. It's really hard to say, but I think the most important thing is right now for us to stay positive, and to think about how we can increase the love and healing and awareness in our world. And so what Mel and I were thinking a lot was that a key factor here is community, vegan community. And so we were talking with Margarita and Michele about vegan community. So we wanted to invite them to join us here, because we think that it's really important to talk about ways that we can be more self-sufficient, either where we are, but also talk about ways we can maybe create vegan community, actually vegan community on the land, or vegan community, at least like we're doing now, sort of virtually, But we need to eat food. We can't just eat virtual food, right? We can't, actually, be together in some way. So that's kind of the foundation of some of the things we've been thinking about since 2 weeks ago when we had the call. And I think at this point I'll stop and then just see if anyone has any comments or questions. And also maybe we could hear from Margarita and or Michele if you'd like to contribute any ideas to what I've been saying, because I know you're both involved with vegan community through the Naked Food magazine, but also just the idea of maybe helping people understand a little bit more, what's going on right now. If you have any insights you'd like to add, I think it would be great. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Will, for introducing us, for having us. I'll introduce Michele a little bit. So I hope that some of you, or at least any of you, have seen the magazine. I've been working on the magazine for about 7 years. We've been trying to bring an independent, really transparent source of information. It's something that, as you were saying, well, it's been difficult to find, even in the health industry or the medical industry, pharmaceutical industry. It's very difficult to really find clarity in knowledge in something that is truly independent. As you know, a lot of the medical studies, or sometimes they can be purchased, in other words, paid for,
right,
some corporation, etc. So the goal has been to really provide something that gives people a different outlook. It's absolutely, I wouldn't say the opposite, but very close to mainstream media, because we don't want to share anything that just spreads misinformation. And so I have been working on that and with my nonprofit organization. And, my husband, Michele, he actually works on the truth. He's a researcher, journalism. He does research, journalistic research. But his topics are a little more of exactly what's happening now, which is, geopolitics, anything that has to do with conflict in terms of, why it happens and the interest behind why these things happen. So if there's anybody who has a question or anything like that, we can try mostly him in terms of, that's his subject. He's been really kind of professionally doing this for the last 20 years, kind of like what we've been doing for the last 3 months in terms of coronavirus. He's been doing it for 20 years. And so he has a lot of insight into, why this is happening, or the reasons why this could be happening. And they include, power. It's just simply power. He has a website. I'll let you talk a little bit about that. He has a website. It's called sustainable.media, if anybody wants to visit it, where he shares some of this information. So it's kind of neat because I focus on human health and sanitary health and sustainability. And what he does is sustainability, but in terms of, everything else that is around us. So thank goodness for that, because we sort of try to filter the information, everything that comes in. So I would like to introduce you, and so you can maybe tell people a little bit about what you do and your insight about what's happening.
Sure. So first of all, thank you for the invitation. Will, it's a pleasure to be here, and it's a particular moment for everybody. It's a moment where I feel that we should be really connected and to be as many as we can to intervene, because it's a delicate moment. As far as I know, it is a moment where there is a switch of two groups of people. I am against dualism. Okay, first of all, there is an operation of dualism here in the last years, many years, but right now is happening in a strong way. And I don't love to talk about me, guys, but I'll do it just because so you can trust more about my sources. That's the only thing that. The reason I talk about myself. I started as an actor, then I worked as a film director, and then I became a specialist in studying media and intelligence, the way that propaganda and intelligence works with media. That's my specialty. So in the last 20 years, I discovered that there are plans that are not conspiracy theories things, but are real. There are documents I can show you. Actually, in the last days, I am kind of overwhelmed of official documents that I couldn't believe to see that they are there. Two specific ones I would suggest you to check them. One is a Kissinger report, and another one is from Rockefeller Foundation, and they both can tell you 90-70 pages. I know it's a lot, but in these two documents you can see the events that are happening in the last 20 years one by one, and the sequence can change. Maybe they do it every 7 years, 8 years, 9 years. In the last time, this one is happening after 12 years, because we have to count the 2008 economical crisis. All these events that are calculated, planned, programmed, call it the way you want, from an entity. This entity, you can call it deep state, you can call it Illuminati, I don't care. It's a just label, guys, as far as I know. It's a group of people that have only the interest of corporations. Behind, everybody hates Bill Gates. Okay, I don't love Bill Gates, but he is a tool. These people are tools that work for an entity that nobody talks about, this one. So I would take advantage of saying to you guys, let's be tough, careful, and let's have the sources, official sources, to understand who is this entity that works on, behind. First of all, I come from a Catholic family, but I don't care about religions. I don't care about any label. I am a free soul, and I bless all the free souls that relate themselves to no labels, but only to the fact that I want to share my love, my passion, my awareness with the other human beings close to me. That's my religion. The universe is my religion. So right now there are interests related to these groups. These groups are the United Kingdom, the monarchy, these groups are some part of the Vatican, some part of the Zionists. Again, it's not about religion, it's a little group. And other entities related to this one, and all the lobbying below, financial system, banks, working for this, Melinda and Bill Gates, etc., John Hopkins universities. Right now, for example, we are having information only from those ones. As you can check, the information in the news come from John Hopkins University, Melinda and Bill Gates, and United Nations, World Health Organization. These are the ones that you can see in the event. Most of you know this event 201 that was a drill organized 2 months before. And if you see this event, the way it was organized, the video they made, you have to be only blind and deaf to not understand that this is something planned, organized. They even know the reaction. And the only reason I am here, guys, it's not an egocentric thing, but I really think that right now we should create cells, because I want to offer a solution. What can we do? The solution, in my opinion, studying intelligence, the way they use propaganda, is they want, first of all, to create blockchains, digital money, to have a tattoo, an electronic tattoo, can call it a microchip. They are literally trying to do that right now. They are trying to give the financial system, what they do is to create a crisis every 7, 8, 9, 12 years, like I told you. Why? Because they issue a kind of martial law. Right now we are under medical martial law, but it's a martial law. So when this is going to finish, we're going to accept whatever is there, because not they put it out, they issue these decisions, but they don't change them. Like after the 9/11, they decided certain things, but they didn't change it. Everything was like they did there, because now when you travel, you know that you are afraid. So when you are afraid, they know that they can get you, they can decide things that you accept. So just to conclude, to finish, what they do is to create the events. Population is in the fear kind of emotional situation. So the government, the central entity, gives you the solution. You accept the solution. This is in the last 150 years they do this. They know that we are weak, not the present people, because we are aware, I am sure, but the population usually works this way. My opinion, just to finish, the solution could be just to create, since they may shut down the internet, because if they shut down internet, guys, we can't communicate. We use WhatsApp, Facebook, parentheses. Right now, we have only five big groups. Everybody uses Amazon. Everybody uses one group, that which is Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, owned from the same entity, and Google. So they are trying to centralize in five, six groups of our daily life needs. That's the interest. They want to make one government, five corporations, so everybody depending on five entities, on every kind of economical, financial needs, right? And that's why they want the cryptocurrency, because then we don't have money, cash money. We have to go to the banks and they can control everything. Now, I go to the solution. The solution is to, the way they work is a pyramid kind of organization. So that's why they, because the question is, how is possible that they can manage so many countries in the Western area, at least, that way? It's easy, because the organization is a pyramid organization. So if they change the top of the pyramid, everything changes. The only way we can work, guys, I suggest you, I see 41 people, is to create cells, because this is the way the intelligence works. So if we can use it for a good reason, for beautiful, for the light, instead of for these dark intentions, to create cells where each of you can have 3 to 9 people. Is the head of this cell. So every time we meet here, we share all the information we have, and everybody becomes the head of this cell, where we have 3, 4, 5, from 3 to 9 people. Each of them can create another one. So we create an horizontal kind of communication, where if they shut down one, they don't do any damage. This is pretty much the general situation. If you want details and more things I can answer, but this is right now what is happening, and right now is one of the biggest important moments of the last 70 years, because they organized the 9/11, they already killed the Kennedy. We know this. I think that you know, guys, this. So right now is the one of the last biggest events. With this, they wanna get many things in one. So if we are smart, and I feel. I'm really a spiritual person, so I feel that here there are many, many smart and enlightened people. If we understand this right now, that this is an important moment, where we can be a model without ego for other people, to enlighten other people, to understand our family, to wake up, guys. Not to do the revolution in terms of going in the middle of the street, because we can't do anything. The only way is to communicate, to spread, to become as many as we can. So they can't obligate us to use the microchip, tattoo, electronic tattoo, vaccine, because now they're going to come with the vaccine, and they're going to say to us that we can only travel if we can show in the ID 2020, like you said last time, Will. That's their final goal. So you can they can track everything. You know, if you have the vaccine, you can travel. If you don't have, you can, et cetera, et cetera. But that's it. That's
okay.
Sorry, guys, but I tried to share.
Right. No, I can see, like you said, Margarita, many years of research into the hidden things going on behind the scenes. And I think, you know, there's we all have to come to our own conclusions, obviously, about all these different things. But I think that what you're saying is very important, because like in the World Peace Diet, the idea is that what we sow, we reap. And so if we're continuing as a society to create a situation of enslavement of so many animals and shutting down our awareness. If I say to someone, do you want to know, you know, where your sausage came from? No, I don't want to know. I just want to enjoy my sausage. You know, that's how we get trapped, you know, in that idea. And so as vegans, I think we awaken out of the hoax of eating animal foods, but there's all these other hoaxes that are piled on top of that in many ways, other false narratives. And I've noticed a lot of even people who are vegans don't question a lot of the other programming. So I think it's very helpful what you're saying. There's probably an enormous amount of of research that you would want people to, if they really want to know about this, to do. And I've actually done a lot of it myself over the last 20 years as well. But I think your idea of cells is interesting. I hadn't thought of that. That's something, I mean, that size, like a small cells, because if they get too big, then it's easy for them to get infiltrated, I guess, right? So you want to just have people you really trust and know, and have them share news that can be enlightening with them, and have them share it with a few other people. Just have lots of smaller information sharing cells. It's something decentralized, which I think is the way it's always been, essentially. When we have decentralized awareness, then that's unstoppable. And that's one of the reasons I love the vegan movement. Essentially, it's a decentralized movement in general. The vegan movement is, in the beginning, it was more centralized. We had these annual conferences and there was a few leaders. But now it's like everybody is just spreading the message everywhere through thousands and thousands of restaurants and sanctuaries and groups and this and that. So have something similar with this, so people are aware that there's an agenda of imprisoning us. It's like on a farm when the pigs or whatever or animals on the farm, every day kind of goes along, and it's like a day like every other day. And then one day they come and they harvest the animals, right? They slaughter the animals. One day they just do it, right? They've been building up to that the whole time, and now here it comes, right? So I think it's important to realize that, from the point of view of the people you're talking about, I hate to say it, but I think there's a lot of truth to it. The human population is looked at in many ways as livestock. I mean, as ways to, as beings to be exploited, So I think now it's so important for us to just do the best we can to create community that's healthy. And this is one way, I think, spreading the message in small cells. I just think it's very interesting. I don't know if anybody else wants to chime in on that. But I like the idea. And of course, Facebook, for example, which is the way most of us do this kind of thing, it's pretty well understood that Facebook, as well as Google, were funded as projects of DARPA, which is a part of the Pentagon. So, we're being tracked, it's just be aware of it. And there's a lot of censorship that's beginning to happen. Some really important YouTubes have been just taken down off of YouTube recently. I noticed, I just was watching one today, this afternoon, that was taken off of YouTube because it was questioning the banks and what they're doing behind the scenes. So, and also another one that was talking about, I'm not sure if you have any awareness of this, but this other aspect that's maybe good just to mention is 5G, because this particular video that was taken off of YouTube, basically what the guy who made the video used to work for Vodafone, which is a huge cell company in Europe, which I remember when I was in Europe, I had a Vodafone, actually, phone when I was there. But he was a top executive. He was very high up in the international thing. And he said that the fifth generation of the electromagnetic radiation is now being implemented. And he said, basically, the future is 5G. The powers that be have decided that this is not negotiable. There's a lot of people saying, no, we're gonna protest. We're going to stop it. And he was saying it's going to happen. And so you probably have all heard this, but I'll just mention it briefly. He was saying how Wuhan was the first city in China where they actually rolled out 300,000 of these towers. They're extremely high frequency radiation, and that it causes in people, especially those who aren't quite so strong, a tremendous amount of the cells start getting poisoned by the radiation. And so in order to cleanse themselves, they're emitting what look like viruses. They're emitting proteins and things, and it comes out through the phlegm. So they get very congested. The lungs get all filled up because they're trying to cleanse the toxicity that's coming from the 5G. So it looked like suddenly there was this whole epidemic of respiratory disease. It was caused actually by, he was saying, he said, He said, I have 20 years in the telecommunications industry. I've left now, but this is what's actually going on. And he said the other major countries that were rolling out 5G were Spain and Italy. And the same thing was happening. They were getting the symptoms of this. So they can't say it's 5G because the future is 5G. They don't want people to panic or to resist in any way, because we need to have, because 5G is a military grade radiation. It's just below weapons grade. It's extremely disturbing and to the body, but it enables self-driving cars and a whole lot of other things, the Internet of Things and all that, that they absolutely want to have happen. So, and a global currency. So I guess that has to happen, and artificial intelligence and so forth. So they're telling everybody this is a virus, and they have tests in place. The PCR test is the main test for the coronavirus, and it's inherently unreliable, gives 80%, according to some researchers, false positives. So there's a lot of people being diagnosed with this disease who probably don't have it, and then they have other things that they're calling coronavirus. I mean, there's many levels of this, as you probably are all aware. When someone dies in a hospital with this coronavirus, they say it was coronavirus, even if it was something else. You were talking about that. You knew people in Italy where that actually happened to them. So I think we have to realize that there's probably an enormous amount of manipulation of the media that's going on, and we're taught to trust the media. And I was born and raised in a newspaper family, and I know in my bones, don't trust the media, because my father ran newspapers, and I learned growing up, you don't run news that's going to make the advertisers upset. You just can't do it. They'll put you out of business. So the biggest advertisers, as we know, are these huge corporations, especially the pharmaceutical industry. So all the news we're getting, and they're funding the World Health Organization, they're funding the CDC. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is the largest single funder of the World Health Organization that there is, and they have their investments are all in pharmaceutical industries. So we're getting completely lied to about this. It's really just important just to understand this. I'm not saying it's not a conspiracy theory. I mean, this is just the facts. This is what's happening. You know? So just good to be aware. But again, I want to stay positive here, because I think, you know, it's good that we're seeing, I think, in many ways, a major change happen. People are, it's like a birth is happening, but we have to not be gullible. I think that's the most important thing, is to not be gullible, not just believe what the media is telling us, and forge a path where we're making positive changes that we can pass on to future generations. And it's like, I just wanted to mention, for example, I had a phone call earlier today with a fellow named Sky, who lives in Hawaii and at a community, and also Angel Flynn. They live in a community on the Big Island called Gentle World, and it's a vegan. They've been a vegan community for like 30 years, yeah. And they have land there, and they're trying to expand. Anyway, they were telling me they really need people, you know, for them to survive. And so it was occurring to me that these places like Gentle World is just one example, and we can maybe have other ones, but places on the earth where people are vegan, where we value organic way of living and freedom and creativity and love and spiritual life, and to be more self-sufficient, and to create maybe, like you're saying, Michele, like a network, a network of these kinds of communities on land in different places where we can grow our own food and pass on something for future generations that's really sustainable. Because I think what we're seeing is, like you said, that the pyramid model is they want everyone to get their power from the same people, to get their food from the same people, to get their money from the same people, you know, and they control it all, right? So as long as we're locked into that system and dependent on that system, we're slaves to that system. So the idea is for us to become self-sufficient for energy, for food, for means of exchange, whatever the money is, whatever, to do that at a local level. And so it's just about brainstorming ways that we can do that. And I think there's a few other communities. A lot of them aren't vegan. You know, like the farm in Tennessee is pretty vegetarian friendly. A lot of vegans are there. There's one called Wind Spirit we visited in Arizona. It's a small community. It's vegetarian friendly. And there's another one called Madre Grande in Southern California that's also vegetarian friendly. the vegetarian, actually, spiritual community. These are, there's some of them already out there that could be used, but I think maybe the idea is to have other ones, and maybe the idea is to just create them wherever we are. Like Madeline and I, you know, we have our garden and our farm and our whatever we're doing here. But it would be nice to have maybe, besides just individuals or individual couples, I mean, that's one solution, but also have maybe small groups or people coming together. It's really, we've been talking about this for a long time, but I think it's getting more urgent, it seems like, too. We can't just, you know, fool around anymore, because we may find that we're not able to travel anymore without getting vaccinated. And I think it's also important to just say the new generation of vaccines that are being proposed are really demonic. I mean, these are vaccines that are actually, they're called DNA vaccines that actually change our DNA. I mean, you want to have someone give you a vaccine that changes the DNA of your cells? I mean, this is really serious. I mean, this is something you can't undo that. You know, and other ones that have nano robots in the vaccines, you know, tiny robots that do things inside the body. And the one that Margarita was saying, you know, and one that you don't inject into person, you just spray it. It's just a spray. They just spray you with a spray, and then your sweat glands activate the vaccine, and it suck it in, and you're there you are vaccinated without even knowing it. Maybe you just get sprayed when you're going through a hospital line or an airport line or whatever. So these vaccines can be a direct attack on the integrity of our physical body, and I think also can be an attack on the pituitary gland. And this is an important point to understand, that the pituitary gland is really our connection with our spiritual intuition. And so if you have people that are not in touch with their intuition, you have people that are basically easy to control, who will believe the official stories, who kind of go along with everybody else does, when people have the pituitary gland activated, we activate it through veganism, really, and eat healthy food and meditation, connecting with nature, being creative. And we have to activate the pituitary gland and the deeper intuitive wisdom. We're not going to be easy to control. We're going to see through the scams. We're going to question the official stories. And we're going to come from a place of love and creativity rather than fear. And I think that's the main thing to remember in all of this, is that, you know, we're essentially eternal consciousness. We're essentially spiritual beings. We're not just bodies with this flesh. We're not matter. You know, as long as they keep us reduced to matter, like how we reduce cows and pigs and chickens, you know, when we reduce ourselves to matter, then we're afraid. Oh, I get hurt. I'm not, you know, we're afraid. We're trying to get enough toilet paper to survive. You know, we're trying to get enough. We're fighting with each other, competing. You know, there's no hope at that level. You know, we'll be completely enslaved if we stay at that level. We are being called now to get to the next level of awareness, which means we, you know, not only meditation, but also taking time to really connect with nature, with creativity, and then to think creatively about how we can create, what was the word you used, Michele, pods, you said, little webs?
Cells,
that's right, cells. I like that. Oh, cells in a larger body, that's a great word, cells. To create cells with people that we know and trust, you know, that's basically it. So I think, here we are. You know, it's a very powerful time. I don't think it's going to go back to the way it was before the pandemic. You know, it's the change, because we're they're talking about continuing this through March, April, May. I mean, can you imagine more months of this? I mean, we're going to see, some people are saying this is a form of mass torture, really. I mean, you can find people long enough, they start going nutty. And, you know, really, I mean, we have to be aware, I guess, just, you know, again, I don't want to spread fear, because I think, but just to be aware that these are the kind of forces that they're fooling around with, you know, that are playing out here. So to really anchor ourselves in love and awareness and in the spiritual dimension, that what we are is not just this lifetime. What we are, we have many lifetimes, right? This is just one of them. So this particular lifetime, we're here to do a particular job on this earth at this time. Do our best in this lifetime to live our life as an expression of ahimsa, of nonviolence, of awareness, of wisdom, and create communities of like-minded people. That's what, there's always been challenges. I mean, the governments, I mean, go back to ancient China, you know, the man, they were locking up all the Buddhist monks because they didn't like them meditating. You know, I mean, this has happened before. You know, it's happened many times. And back in Europe in the medieval period, if you didn't go along with the church, they'd lock you up and torture you, right? So this has happened. And in a way, it's happening again. It's up to us to continue this as best we can, the freedom, and to raise awareness. But I think it's important to do it, like you're saying, as small cells that are somewhat protected and aware. Anyway, anyone else have any other ideas? I'm just sharing those ideas right now. So
I think some people have some questions, so maybe if you want to.
Yeah, it says, let's see, Antoinette, can Michele speak to that? Does he know anything about the timeline? you know anything about the timeline? That's a question.
As far as I know, I want just to, before I go ahead with this, I would like to add what you, so I, sorry, I forgot like the main thing, the 5G. Thank you for sharing. Because my intelligence information I'm getting, I can share it with you because now I'm starting to get public. I have seen the video you mentioned before. Uh-huh. Really interesting. The guy from Vodafone. Anyway, this is a kind of cover up for the what they already knew was going to create, because there is another video, 10 minutes, fantastic, from a guy related to Rudolf Steiner, talking about the fact that every time that there was a human intervention on the electromagnetic field of the planet, since we are electricity, human beings, we are electricity, literally. Every time there were kind of diseases, health issues, problems, when they invented electricity, radar, any system, like right. 4 or 5 times during the last 100 years, he was showing that there were many situations where there were diseases, and they know that this one is the big one, because this these tools are putting at the corner of the street. You're going to have it at the corner of the street. So everybody's going to get affected. So in Wuhan and in Milan and all these areas, literally there was a release of many towers, 5G towers. So this is, since they didn't know the entity of the, they knew that there was a problem, something was going to happen, but they didn't know how big could be. So they got ready. And it was pretty big. Of course, the media is pushing it. But what happens is that if you think about the fact that in the water, there are metals. They release metals. In the air with chemtrails, they release metals. The food, metals. So this is why? Because this creates a grid where they can release any electronic, in this case, microwave, 70 gigahertz. This is totally not dangerous. It's a weapon, guys. 70 gigahertz to human beings, it's a weapon. It's something that changes pituitary, pineal gland, hypothalamus, all the endocrine system, and it works like literally every second of your life, because you can't close the computer, you can't switch off your phone. If you have it at the corner of the street, it's right there. So anyway, to answer the timeline, as far as I know, in this moment, nobody knows it, because it's based on the reaction of people. So if there are many groups like this, it's going to last less. If there are not many groups like this, it's going to last very, very, very long. And when I say long, means 4 or 5 years. Don't get scared. I'm saying the whole journey. In September, as far as I know, this summer, this center of the big deal, it's gonna end up during the summer. The first one in June is gonna be a little change, and then in September we're gonna get back. Not like you said, never is gonna be normal like before, but it's gonna be almost or acceptable for human being. But the consequences are going to be in a longer range of time. Probably most of them are not going to change. So The summer is June, the first one, the second stage in September, and then it's going to involve at least 4 or 5 years with consequences that are going to be there without any change, because that's what they do with the Twin Towers, with the 9/11. They what they want is to change, to get back part of the freedom of humanity. So we accept the fact that we can do this, we can travel if we want that. So that part is not going to change. They are not going to change it. We can create cells, like Will was saying. We can create a parallel system on our own, hoping that they don't come with police saying to you that you can't do that neither. But this is something that we can do, okay? Then the consequences is on the go. On the go, the more we are, the tougher it's going to be for them to stop it. That's what I can say. That's why I insisted before, without creating any alarm, without creating any fear, because if we meditate, if we eat healthy, we are plant-based, we don't drink water, bad water with metals, if we know what we get in our body, also media, what we watch, people, friends, you know, it's all vibrations, as you know, as you can teach me. So if we, the field around and the field inside is not affected from any of these, shit, then we can be safe, at least us, and inform as many people as possible, and to create this kind of communication like Will is doing with us. I think the opportunity to say thank you, because this is a good chance. And for us to recreate something like that, where we can make this center of these cells, this kind of community, bigger.
Right, right. Great. Thank you for responding. We have Susan Schaff has her hand up. I'm going to go ahead and unmute. I guess, are you?
Yeah, I just unmuted.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Wow, this is so fantastic. So I have many questions, but one is, and I think I'll just say them all really quickly. One is, I've always been an optimist, like I've been called Pollyanna many, many times. I'm not feeling that way right now, and it's actually really disturbing to me. I'm, you know, love and light, and I'm not feeling that right now. I'm feeling terrified, and I'm not feeling terrified of the virus, whatever that thing is. I'm feeling terrified of this control that is just so obvious. I even started not giving 6 feet in between me and when I walk by someone on the sidewalk, just to see. And a lot of people don't care, and some people do, you know. But anyway, it's been interesting. My major question is, so being vegan, we already are a minority, and we feel like a minority, and we are, but we try to educate in a loving way and all that by example. Okay, so I feel like an amazingly small minority now, especially after watching The High Wire, Will, which I really am grateful you shared with us, and I watched a few of the episodes, and it's incredible. And then I've read a lot about 9/11 and all that. So my question is, how do I interact with and maybe educate people in my life? Because I am definitely known as the kind of kooky conspiracy theory. I can't even bring it up with most people I know. And so I'm wondering, how do we deal with this feeling of being so outnumbered or such a minority, and how do I actually educate people? If I want to educate or try to open eyes, I'm not sure how to do that, because I feel so much rage and fear right now. And I guess I want to say one more thing. I am Jewish by heritage, and I have been feeling that this is how it started. It feels like this is, you know, my people were hauled off and murdered and tortured. This feels like it's part of that kind of thing. We're not being hauled off at the moment, but we're being told who we can hug and whether we can congregate. And I literally cannot find toilet paper, actually. which I think is a global emergency. I don't see why our government isn't saying we got to get more toilet paper makers. Anyway, so I would really love some actual ideas of how do I dribble, you know, spread seeds of awareness. I'm not sure how to do that without people saying, you're crazy. You're just crazy. This is not planned. This is a virus and better get with the program. And if they want to vaccinate us, it's for our own good. And, you know, all that kind of stuff. And when you bring up 9/11, people flip out. What are you talking about? So I would really love some help with this because it's really hard to not say anything. And people around us, all they're talking about is the virus, the virus, the virus. Are you staying safe? Are you staying safe? It's like, actually, we're not safe at all, people.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Thanks so much, Suzanne. And I'm not sure you had several different questions, but they're all around really focusing on the same thing. I think, you know, like you say, you're an optimistic person by nature. And I think it's important to cultivate that little flame of optimism. You know, it's important to feel your feelings, you know, the fear, and like you're alluding to this sort of almost, deeper kind of core fear of how it is to be seen as, an object to be used and eliminated and so forth. And people always say, how could that have happened in Germany? They were, you know, we see such a similar thing happening today. People are it seems like we're just very easily controlled all of a sudden because of the fear of the coronavirus. But in terms of actually sharing this with other people in an effective way, I think you're right. If someone is, it's kind of like with veganism, but it may be even more difficult because now, this has to do, like if you question the official story of COVID-19, it's like you're seen as a real danger to society, in a sense. Whereas if you're spreading the vegan message, well, okay, you're a vegan, okay, whatever, you know, but you're not seen as a danger to society. You're not seen as a threat to everyone, you know. But the way the narrative is being controlled, anyone who doesn't go along with this shelter in place and all these things, washing hands and all that stuff, that we're really, you know, it's like we're directly harming other people. So this is a real hysteria that's being fed and nurtured by the media. And I think it's important to be careful. I mean, I wouldn't just go around proudly saying you think that the whole thing is just made up and it's a way for them to take away our freedoms. I mean, you can try that, but I think it might not be that effective. And I don't know if it's that safe in a way. I mean, I hate to say it, but you know, the way the system is set up now, and they're talking about, they've already started it in Israel, in China, and in a few other countries, where people are tracked by through their cell phones. They know who you're talking to, where you're going. They're doing it, in terms of safety for the coronavirus. Denmark just passed a law, you know, mandatory vaccination for everyone. It passed unanimously. So the fear is allowing just unheard of. I mean, no one would ever tolerate this kind of civil liberties destruction, the complete destruction of, like, in the United States, of our constitutional rights of assembly, right? We have a constitutional right of assembly. No, we just take it away. I mean, no one would have stood for that. Look at the Gilets Jaunes in France. They were out every weekend protesting Macron and the devastating economic situation in France. They can't do it anymore, right? I mean, the government has done a coup. I mean, it's a coup against the people, really, taken away our liberties. And the weird thing is that we just are happy to give it away. Like, we're begging them to take our freedom away because of the fear of this so-called virus. And so, that's been the big shock for me, is to see how willingly people, and even vegan people, have been willing to just give away their freedom and their rationality in the face of this. But I think It's been planned for a long time, and we've been brainwashed for a long time, especially around medical stuff. I fought against it consciously for my whole life, against the medical program. So I don't buy into it very easily, but most people do. So I would just say, like, it'd be good to hear what Michele and Margarita think, or anybody else who has an idea, but I think the idea of sharing this with people cells, you know, like people you know are already on a similar wavelength, where they won't just freak out. I mean, it's kind of like 1984. Like, you don't want to tell people, or they might lock you up. You know, you're spreading. No, it's amazing how this has happened so quickly. But I think to share these ideas with people that you think are possibly open to it. We do, Madeline and I, like, when we go out, we live in here, like you do, I guess, in Northern California, in our community, you know, they're doing the usual things, but it's pretty loose. And like, when we go, like, we went to the nursery and she was saying, oh, come on, you're not supposed to come into the office because we have to practice, you know, 6 feet of distance. And we said, don't you know, this whole thing is actually being way overblown. And really, I mean, and she was like, really? And I said, yeah. And I suggest watching the High Wire. I just suggest people, if they look a little bit open, I say, look at the High Wire, you know, or check something out. Just get an alternative opinion, and then they can do it if they want. So we're telling anybody that we talk to who has any glimmer of like interest in this to watch the High Wire or some other thing. Or I say sometimes John Rappaport. I think he's does a good job. He's a medical journalist and is doing a lot to help question this whole thing. So you can suggest people that they might want to turn to for more information. And then, like Michele was saying, maybe, you know, they can be an ally, they can be part of a cell if they really say, yeah, you know, I think that's true. And to, you know, support each other, because the worst thing is to feel alienated and alone and like, you know, nobody, I can't talk to anybody about this. You know, I think that's what I would say. And Michele, do you have anything, or does anyone else want to respond?
Well, I'd like to add something because, you know, one of the things that I've done pretty much for the last 10 years, about 9 years, is that, you know, I'm a vegan, 1,000,000% vegan at heart. But I've relied on evidence to not only to share to others, but also to just so I don't have people that come to me and say, no, that's your opinion. I don't like when people have that chance. In other words, if I share something, I want to share something. Of course, I'm talking besides ethics, because, you know, unfortunately, ethics cannot be evidence-based. But in terms of any information of health, sustainability, anything like that, I like to rely on evidence, just because, and like I first said, I know there's a lot of medical stuff that is messed up, and I'll try to answer Jeanette's question on the Johns Hopkins in a second. But so I believe that what we have to do is be smart, because yes, we have a lot of light inside. I think that everybody who decides at a certain point in their lives to become vegan, whether it's for animals or for the planet or for their health, or the three of them, which should be the way that, you know, in my opinion, you know, because we all are interconnected and everything depends on everything else. You know, we need to support everything so everything flourishes, not just one part of the equation, in my opinion. But so I think that, you know, our food choices play a big part. And of course, everything else that we choose also plays a big part. So if we decide to buy something, it has to be something, as we know, not just that it doesn't include animals, but it's also sustainable, that is also helping the planet, that is also something that actually gives us something back. Not just that, like, we have to become pickier now. I'm talking about shopping, which we can't do right now, but I'm talking about choices, like all of our choices. They need to be really mindful, you know, mindful about everything. Now, I feel in my own family, even though I've done this for so many years and actually have reached, you know, many people like you will, nobody in my family besides my parents, of course, us, nobody listens. And so it's kind of like what Suzanne was saying. How do you really talk to somebody? How do you actually comment on something like this that is even, let's say, more spread than even veganism? So in my opinion, I think that it's important to find common ground. When I speak with somebody who's not a vegan or who doesn't follow a plant-based diet, I just try to find some common ground so they feel that we have something in common. Because if they feel that we have like absolutely nothing in common, they're not going to even listen to me. And I'm not, like you were saying, Will, I'm not really soliciting the information. Like I really see if they are willing to be helped, I help. Because, you know, like the saying says, you know, you can take the horse to water, but you can't really force them to drink. And so I think that when people are ready, they will listen to you. And this is a difficult time. And I think that people like us, I think that we've already reached a little bit of a higher level of understanding, of enlightenment, I feel, because at least we know what's happening out there, whether it is in the you know, animal production industry, the food industry, the healthcare industry. We already know this. And so I think that the problem right now is that we are seeing that it's not just in these industries, it's actually everywhere. This is happening everywhere. One thing that actually scares me, again, because I look into evidence-based information, of course, included, you know, nutrition, lifestyle changes, you know, all these things. It's scary to me that academia meaning, you know, all these universities, even journals, they are falling for the same type of information. Like they just did an alliance for COVID-19, and, you know, John and Melinda Gates Foundation is there. In other words, John Hopkins is there. Like all these questionable organizations, or more than questionable organizations, they're part of the information that is going to become the rule for COVID-19. And that part is scary to me, because, you know, now they're going to say, well, just believe the scientists and believe science and blah, blah, blah. And I think that's something that I don't like. However, I want to tell you something about viruses that maybe you don't know yet, or maybe if you do, it's just, you know, extra information. Just because I've been researching this virus thing for seriously daily for the last 4 months or 3.5 months at least. And so I just want to tell you something of what I've found. And all of this is going to be in my next issue. I don't know if you guys are interested, but next issue of Naked Food is solely actually dedicated to immune health, to immunity, and also to the virus and why this virus is affecting, or why it could affect, and you know, the things that we can do about it. So just so you know, like some of these, the coronavirus, it's been in our history for many, many years. And actually a human being can have coronavirus, or a type of coronavirus, during their lifetime 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. When you have a cold, it could be a coronavirus. It doesn't mean that you're going to die from it. It's just a type of virus. That's it. Scientifically, it's just a type of virus. So what happens is that a lot of the people who have died, by the way, Michele is Italian. Half of my family is Italian as well. And so we sort of been very much not only engaged, but we've gotten a lot of the information from the Italian side, just because some of the things that we hear and on the news here, they're not being told there, and vice versa, of course, because, you know, they're controlling here and they're controlling there, depending on what they want people to know. You know, the population in Italy is, most of the people is old. You know, they're some of these, let's say millennials, or, you know, these centenaries, or they live for a long time. But a lot of people, because of our Western diet, they're becoming more and more susceptible to other conditions, you know. So if you know somebody who's in a hospital or who's sick and you have a cold, you're not going to go see that person because you know that the cold might aggravate their condition. And that's exactly what part of what's happened there. We knew because of Michele's brother that in the area of Lombardy, which is sort of where they live a little outside of that, but is in the same area, north of Italy, back in December, starting in December and until the end of January, they did a huge campaign for a vaccine for meningitis. And so, as you know, when you put a vaccine on any subject, adult or child, what you want is to create an antibody, right? Because that's what our body does. Like, if you, well, with vaccines. So what happens is that after giving a vaccine to somebody who already has a low immune system, or maybe just a normal person, regardless, that vaccine is going to utilize your body to create the antibody, and the immune system just ends up in a really low kind of like, in a low ability to fight off anything else. So if afterwards you get a cold or you get, you know, a virus, whatever it is, the possibilities of you actually coming out of that is difficult if your immune system is already low. So one of the things that we need to be aware of is that, you know, our vegan diet needs to be nutrient filled. It needs to be fiber full. Why? Because fiber is the one thing that actually ferments in our intestine and creates this good bacteria. The microbiome that Will was mentioning before, we are a whole microbiome. Our body is, we are a huge bacteria. Like, in other words, we're all bacteria. But the thing is that because we have the skin is kind of like our first barrier. If something comes in through, you know, our nose or our eyes or our ears, whatever, it already goes into our body, then it kicks in the second barrier of immunity. So we need to provide our body the best tools so the body can actually release that army and fight off any kind of infection. So there was a question here about cabbage. Somebody was asking about cabbage and sauerkraut and all those fermented. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. You have to add, you know, all kinds of cabbage is great. We actually add it every single day in our meals, whether it's red or white, all kinds of vegetables. All vegetables have kind of like the same property that they actually ferment in your intestine. But they also give you a lot of other stuff like antioxidants. So if anybody's wondering, that's the purpose of antioxidation. When you are stressed out or your cells go through some kind of stress, whether it's external or internal, what happens is that your body needs to, it sort of creates this oxidative stress that we know. So the antioxidants, that's what they do. They antioxidate. So the more antioxidants you have, the better, because those are the tools that our body needs. I hope that that helped. I don't know if anybody wants to ask.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks so much. I think that is helpful. We have on the call Tammy Hay, who lives way up in northern Canada, who wrote, we just met her in Southern California. And she's written a book called Earth Gut, which is wonderful book that really talks about the microbiome and how the stronger our microbiome is, the healthier we'll be and so forth. So I think it's really great to have that resource. I'll give a link to her website. You can, if you want to get a book that really goes into having a healthy microbiome. It's a great resource. We also have Patricia Mickelson. You can all see, those of you who are on Zoom, there's another vegan community, Wellspring community in, I believe it's in Arkansas. And she has a link there if you're interested in another starting up vegan community in Arkansas. There's probably other ones people are aware of, but that might be good to network a little bit about these possibilities of communities with each other. We're getting kind of close to the end, and we don't like to go more than an hour and a half usually. We have several people that would like to still speak. I'm going to go ahead and maybe unmute Tammy. Or maybe you're unmuted. Are you unmuted, Tammy? Go ahead. You want to say?
Thanks, yeah. Will. Well, thank you, everyone. And my book, Earth Gut, was a book that I wrote in a reaction to what I studied, healing Crohn's naturally. So I was very, very sick, dying with Crohn's, and I really started looking at the gut and then finished a master's in nutrition with Dr. Gabriel Cousins. And I don't want to talk too much more about what we talked about, although I'm really deeply aware that this is a time of a real beautiful critical time of our deep awakening and really using our microbiome, because that's the warehouse of our immunity. 70-90% of our immunity comes from our GALT, which is our gut lining. So I would like to just say that I believe that there's also a power of light working really, really gatherings from high sources. I consider Dr. Gabriel Cousins a very informed source and other people. And I think that there's some deep light forces that are working deeply together right now. And I think that there can be some pretty big intervention that happens before we all burn up in a radiation bioweapon war. I really, really feel strongly about that. I think that there's a lot of hope. And I think that the powers that be that are trying to shift this, whether you believe in angelic forces and then all the people on earth, I think and I feel on a really deep heart-centered level that we have a lot of hope right now.
Thank you.
That we're at a tipping point that we've never been at.
Right. Thank you. Thanks so much, Tammy. Yeah, that's a beautiful, important point to share. There's many other forces perhaps that we're not aware of, and I remember that those are with us. Okay, let's see. So I need to, Tammy, if you can, I think, oh, you're, okay, good. So let's see, somebody else we have, I know it's getting kind of late, but Antoinette, you had your hand up. Would you like to say something? I can,
Hi, thank you, Will. Thank you, Michaeli and Margarita. That was very helpful. Appreciate it very much. I wanted to just share a couple of things, and I'll talk fast. I'm with Suzanne, and all of us here, you know, realizing that the people closest to me, everybody that I, my family and my friends, none of them are on the same page. They're all completely buying into the, you know, mainstream story and all that. So I love the idea of the cells. I think this is an opportunity to figure out a way, just like with veganism, to provide evidence-based, like Margarita said, information. I've been aware and a truther for a long time, so that stuff isn't scary to me, but I think most people who've never even considered, you know, 9/11 is an inside job, you know, that's just going to put them off immediately. So I think it's really safer. I know when I've been reading websites, you know, Rappaport's as well as many others, and when I notice them just very casually throwing out what is known as conspiracy theories, you know, even though we know they're not conspiracies per se, there's reality, like Michaeli said, that it's going to put people off, you know, that aren't used to that. So I guess I'm formulating, even during this meeting, ideas about how to talk with people. And it really stuck with me what Margarita said about evidence-based. So, for example, two things that jump out at me is one that I've been sharing with my significant other, who is one of the mainstreamers, and that is the extremely low death rate. You know, it even says it on all the mainstream news, 5,000 people in the United States have died. You know, this is what we're shutting down the economy and taking away rights. 5,000 deaths. You know, that's evidence right from the mainstream. And then also the number of deaths. What was the other thing? Oh, another thing they put in the mainstream news is that 80% of the people who contract it have mild symptoms. That's all over the mainstream. 80% of the people who get it have mild symptoms the last 2 weeks, and it'll go away. It's like a cold. So those, just as a suggestion, to say, you know, in reaching out to other people. But I do believe this is also a situation perhaps where, you know, this is where we find our tribes, and perhaps the people that are closest to us, like family and friends, you know, won't come along, you know, and they won't understand, and we have to let that be. You know, we can't force them to think the way we do or to be open to these ideas.
Right.
So that's one aspect. However, I will share a little anecdotal example, and that is one of the I can't think of the word. There is an activist for the 9/11 movement in Colorado years ago. He had told the story about how his best friend kept trying to get him to be aware of, you know, this information, and he kept refusing it. And then finally, when he listened, it really turned his life around, and he became a devoted, you know, podcaster and an activist. And so you never know, you know, who's going to turn around or not. I think we have to follow our own intuition and our heart and do right. What feels right, you know, for that. And as I was listening, it also occurred to me, it's kind of like numbers in sales, which I never liked sales, but I know that they would always say it's a numbers game. So the more people you talk to, you know, the more chance you have to find other like-minded people, and you're probably going to have a lot of rejections, but you're not going to find other people unless you're willing to put yourself out there. I'll just cut it there.
Thanks, Antoinette. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Those are great, actually great points. I really appreciate that. Okay. So Nancy, also, we have one more person with a hand up. Nancy, would you like to say something?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I just kind of taking it all in.
Uh-huh.
And it's hard to know who to believe, because I've heard from other very reliable sources, like Silas Rao is doing his, you know, couple weeks, and he was on it in the first day, J. Morris Hicks. Are you familiar with his work? And they were saying absolutely it's not a hoax. This seems real, and I do agree that relatively, I mean, in terms of a pandemic, relatively few people have died, but I know that the people that do get sick are very, 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 very sick. It's not like a typical flu or influenza. It does seem very suspicious, though, that the way it's been handled and mishandled, and how, you know, putting us all on lockdown like that. I mean, it does. I'm kind of torn between. I'm in the middle. I just don't know.
Right.
And I know that there's so much corruption in government, and I think, what pleasure do people get of, you know, doing this to people? I mean,
right.
You know, slavery happened because people were needed, like, for utility, you know, and when technology actually is a big reason why slavery hasn't ended, but, you know, why it evolved to, you know, we think it's ended, but it really hasn't in our country.
Right.
Because machines could do the work, you know. People stopped riding horses because cars were made.
Right.
So what are they going to use us for?
What
do they want with us, you know? And you know, I know that very, very wealthy people look at people who are poor as, like, you know, useless insects, and they would probably like to rid the world of them, even though they're ones that do most of the work.
Right.
And, you know, I know that there's a lot going on, but I'm very torn about the whole thing, you know, and I think that there's kind of some truth on both sides, you know. But this lockdown thing is very, very strange.
Yeah.
And that it's, you know, indefinitely going on. So also, Tammy mentioned a book that she wrote.
Yeah, it's called Earth Gut, EARTHGUT. And I'll put a link to
what's
her.
What's Tammy's last name?
Hay, Hay.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, that's all. I've said enough. Thank you
Great.
So much.
Great. Thanks so much, Nancy. Yeah. So, all right. Well, thank you, everyone. You know, we've gone here a whole hour and a half, and I feel like it's been very productive personally. I really want to thank our guests, our special guests. We had Margarita and Michele with us. And do you want to say anything in closing, either one of you, before we just wrap up? I'd like to kind of wrap it up here.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to say two things. One to Nancy, and another one to, I forgot someone that was talking. No, I was talking about feeling alone, feeling isolated, feeling...
Antoinette.
From
Antoinette
optimism, you know, yeah. From optimism to go to...
Oh, that was Suzanne. Right, Suzanne.
Suzanne. Yeah. About why they do it, I want you to know, most of you for sure know, that these people don't have empathy, okay? we have empathy. These people don't have empathy because since they were kids, they were educated in the noble family. There's no empathy. It's something that I studied, I've seen, I talked with people. They also complained to me. And they also suffered because of that. But then when you grow up that way, it's tough to get it back. Some of them can get it with meditation, et cetera, et cetera. Other people just don't have empathy. So they don't feel the pain of other people. If you guys or us would be there, we can make it because we would ask ourselves, well, wow. Many people are going to suffer. They're going to die. They don't think that way. This system is maybe 20,000 people, no more, with noble families, bankers, high level of financial institutions and groups. And about that, every 7, 8, 9 years, what they do is that they let the market, this is mathematical, okay? This is 100% that way. They leave the market to go up. When the market goes up, they don't move, they don't invest, they sleep, they enjoy life, dolce vita, we say in Italy, they have fun. Then, when there are these moments, they make a river, a sea, a ocean of money, because right now they are buying everything, because it's cheap, right, the markets right, right. go down, they make money. If you go, you check the companies, corporations, entities, individuals who invested short before 9/11, before this event, you would know who is doing this. It's not just conspiracy theories. It's just like I believe it's easy. You go on the market, you see who is investing, which companies are invested short, just 1 month, 2 months, or a few days before February, let's say. Also, a lot of CEOs resigned a few months before. This is out there. Thousands of CEOs resigned. Why? Because some of them knew in the meeting they were having, they knew that something big was going to happen, and they would lose the, what's the word when you get the money and when you leave?
Severance.
They would have troubles, first of all, to manage, and they won't have the same amount of money. Resigning now or resigning in the next month. So right. Most of them resigned having $1.5 million. They create their own business. They are just enjoying that. Most of these CEOs, even Bill Gates resigned as CEO of Microsoft. Another big one, I forgot, it was the Virgin guy too. Like many, believe me, you can go out there on Google and search. Thousands of CEOs in the last 2 months resigned and left.
There was also the $1 billion that was for a falling market. They invested this $1.3 billion.
Yeah, investing short.
In the falling market.
And the answer is that what's the amount of money they issued last week, and they were laughing and jumping and drinking champagne in front of the camera. With Pelosi and Trump, I don't want to talk about politics. I'm saying whoever is there right now is happy because they are getting $6 trillion never in the history. This money are going to go to the people? You think so? Of course not. These money are going to themselves. When the markets go up, they create this situation so people ask for help. Then they are justified to issue help, money. They print money. This money goes to themselves, back to themselves, right. Not to you and me.
Thanks. Yeah, that's been going on for quite a while, and not just in the United States, but it's pretty much, you know, how it works in a lot of places. Although it was interesting to see in Russia that all the money that is going to be going to the people is coming from the rich people. Putin is taxing the rich Russians to cover the cost of taking care of people who can't go to work. Whereas in the United States, actually, it's really just the opposite. And it's been very disturbing to me, actually, to see, you said $6 trillion. I think if you count some of the other money that the Fed is releasing, it's about $10 trillion. Virtually all of that is going to go to the bankers. And so after 6, 4, or 5 months, if the property values go down, they can buy everything up, and people, instead of owning houses because they can't make the payments, they'll be renters. So it's an attempt, I think, to impose financial slavery. So I think, again, it's important not to say that to make people afraid, but just to realize there's something going on to just be aware of and to be conscious of this. But also, I just want to end kind of on a positive note here, because I know when we start thinking about, you know, the whole this sense of a very powerful, rich, wealthy forces that control the media and the government and the corporations and virtually the entire, you know, the governments of the world, essentially.
We're not alone. We're together. We're not alone.
Exactly.
And we can help each other.
Right, and that life is much bigger. I mean, we have this lifetime, and we're here to learn and grow in this lifetime, which goes by in a flash, and then we'll have another lifetime and another. We have countless lifetimes. It's really important to remember that. I mean, we have. I think this is an ancient wisdom teaching that what we are is eternal consciousness, and we are not this particular life. This life is one that we will have, and we'll have another life where a rich man or a poor woman or a who knows what, but all of them are meant for us to learn and grow, and we're going to have challenges, you know, and these are the challenges, and to get the challenge, and it's not what's happening, it's how we respond. You know, the ancient Greek tragedies, it's beautiful. Like there's the hero is thrown into a difficult situation, and it's not so much whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. So the whole idea is, you know, there's powerful forces, right? But how do we respond? Can we respond with love, creativity, awareness, help the people around us, try to wake up, see what's going on? Don't be easily manipulated. I think that's the key, just to be conscious and aware and respond with creativity and love and build something positive. Instead of fighting against this whole thing, to create something positive. So I love the idea of cells. I love the idea of communities that are self-reliant. I love the idea of us continuing to support each other in that. So thank you all again for joining us. I think it's probably good to close here. We'll be having another one, of course, on the third Thursday of April, which is coming up in 2 weeks. That'll be April, what is that? That's April 16th. If you have suggestions, send me an email if there's something in between. I'm sending out, I'm trying not to talk about this too much on public Facebook forums and things like that, just because it's just so difficult to do that in those kind of forums. Yeah. So I like this because this is more just us. It's more private. And but if anyone has suggestions, I know there's all these messages pouring in here, but I can't read everything. But let's stay in touch. Read. You can put your email addresses in the comments if you'd like to get each other's email address. That's probably a good idea. And everyone is, you know, people are asking for prayers and blessings for themselves, for their children, and so forth. There's a lot of great seeds that we can plant during this time. And maybe help, really, we're getting jump-started to create a new world, and I know there's a lot more to come. So But anyway.
Will, can I add just before I forget, because I was not able to answer to, I'm really bad with the names. She was asking about what can we do, you know, to feel better. Like you said, I agree with everything, to meditate, to be connected with the universe, with the sun outside, to take a walk, at least if we can, that's important. And to remember, there is this guy, Italian guy, Giordano Bruno, he's one of the, an ancient master, if you can, I'm going to write it here.
Yeah, I know Bruno, yeah.
He got burned, if you go in Rome, in Piazza Campo dei Fiori, is one of the beautiful places in Rome, there is this statue of Giordano Bruno, he got burned from the Vatican. Because he was an enlightened man, and in the 16th century, he was saying things that guys maybe we know 10% of what he was saying. He said he was saying to the guy before they in the cell in the prison they were bringing him on the fire. He was talking with his student. His student was crying, asking him, well, "What can we do?" He said, "Don't worry. I have chosen to be here right now. I've chosen to be here to do that. My body is just a body. We came here for a reason. Also, I believe that, guys, we are 43, 38 people here for some reason, because we are ready to do this. We are ready to share love and light between us. And we are here because we can do that for other people, that the ones that are available, without forcing anybody, like Margarita said. And to spread this little flame, this little light to the other ones, if they are ready. So we are not alone. You are not alone. The good thing is that we are many. We are not a few group. We are many right now, on the same page.
Thank you. Yes, that's a good point. We need to think to try to see the big picture, biggest possible picture, and what we are essentially can never be damaged. The big picture. What we are is the sky. The clouds cannot damage the sky. And so we don't have to, there's nothing to fear, really. And our love is the power. And health is our true nature. And there's so many more things. Check in with Wim Hof also. The Wim Hof method, he does breathing techniques. We're doing that quite a bit. It really boosts your immune system. And they inject him with bacteria that makes everyone sick. He never gets sick. And he's taught everybody to do the same thing. He's called the Iceman. He said, take a cold shower a day, keeps the doctor away. So that's one thing we do too. We take a cold shower every day and do some good breathing and good food. And it helps really lift your spirits and wake up every morning and give thanks. We're living in amazing times. And this is a global shift happening. And it could definitely open doorways to an enormously positive future. I think it's important to understand that. And to remember, like you say, remember Giordano Bruno, and that he had no fear because he knew that this lifetime was a life of service, to give his best. And he wrote things that are still enlightening and inspiring people today. I know it happened to me when I was studying him many years ago. So he's alive right now as we speak. And that's the beautiful thing. We can all live through our actions, our words, our intentions. And bless people in the future too. It's really how we live our life that matters. All right, so
thank you
very much
for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks.